The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. 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 الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you back once again to our very special program, The Special Ten, in which we're going to be continuing with regards to lives of those 10 blessed companions, 10 special companions, alayhim radwan, who gained the glad tidings of paradise from the very blessed tongue of our beloved Nabi, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And their names are mentioned all together in one narration. So before continuing, as usual, let's listen to a blessing of reciting salawat and salam, durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, this is something that we hear again and again in the Madani environment of Da'at Islami. But let's question ourselves. How many times do we recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis? Keep in mind the Madani Inamat that Amir al-Sunnat Ahmad Barakat Munari has given us. There we are instructed to recite at least 313 durood daily. 313 times durood and salawat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis. So at least keep that as your minimum target that you want to hit on a daily basis. So let's listen to a blessing of reciting salawat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Al-Qawl al-Badi'. An elderly pious man dreamt of a person after his death and asked that person, مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ? How has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated you? And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven me. So this pious man, he asked him that, what was the reason for your forgiveness? And he replied, I used to write hadith in the company of a muhaddith. A muhaddith is somebody who is an expert in the field of hadith. Once he recited salat upon the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and I also recited salat ala nabi loudly. And when the other attendees, when the other people that were there, they heard it, they too recited salat ala nabi. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all of us by its blessings. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, we've just heard a beautiful blessing of reciting salawat and salam upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's all make an intention and specify a number to reach, a target to reach on a daily basis. And you know, the best way to do these things, what we normally do when it comes to any awrad, any wadaif, any adhkar, salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything like that, we normally say, I'll do it at some point in the day, or I'll do it when I get time. And when you leave it to a chance like that, the chances of that actually happening are very little. So always have a time in mind, schedule it and make it your routine that at this point in the day, at this point in time, I sit down and I do this. I recite salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if it's like after every prayer, after every salah, I'm going to recite salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 10 times, 50 times, however many times. But specify a time and a number. So then you've got it. You've got it scheduled in one sense, and you know at that point you're doing that, and you're doing just that. But if you leave it to a point like whenever I get the time, or at some point in the day I'll do it, then the chances of you actually doing that usually decrease. So this is something to keep in mind. So always decide a time. Decide a time for sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Decide a time for when we fill in the Madinah and Amat and so on and so forth. So for all of these daily activities, particularly in terms of our religion, always settle a time for them. We were discussing the blessed life of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala an. And today we're just going to look at the ayat, the verses, some of the verses that were revealed with regards to him. He himself has stated that 4 ayahs were revealed regarding him. And let's look at a couple of them. Firstly, as soon as he accepted Islam, his mother, she became really upset. And keeping in mind that Sina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, before this, he had a very good and a close relationship with his parents. So you can imagine, you know, if all of a sudden he's accepted Islam, now his mother is really upset with him. And she says to him, now you say that your religion tells you to obey your parents and be good to them. So you need to obey me and I'm telling you to leave Islam. So, and she said, if you don't leave Islam, I'm going to stop eating. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink. And if I die, then you'll be responsible for that, and so on and so forth. We mentioned this story and this incident in the initial episode when we started to speak about Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. But when she did so for 3 days, she passed out, she fainted. And when she regained consciousness again, when she came about again, she started to pray against him. So then this ayah, this blessed verse was revealed. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. So, translation from Kanzul Iman, and upon man, we ordain kindness towards parents. And if they strive to make you ascribe a partner with me, about which you do not have any knowledge, then do not obey them. So, with regards to the teachings of Islam and in the lives of teachings of Islam, when do we actually have to obey the parents, and what are some of the rights of the parents? Let's take a quick look at that. This was a verse that was revealed with regards to Sina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu an, and it instructed that even so, what sort of things do we learn from this? The scholars tell us that firstly, every command that the parents give, which is not against the Islamic teachings, which is not against the Sharia, then we must act upon it instantly. Even if the parents are disbelievers or transgressors, sinners, because they'll be responsible for their disbelief. However, the child is still instructed to politely request to them and invite them towards Islam. But even then, he's not allowed to be really rude in his tone of voice or in his wording, and he's not allowed to be in any way, he's not allowed to leave that politeness and soft tone with his parents. He's respectfully going to be inviting them towards Islam, and at the same time, you know, pray from the bottom of his heart in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide his parents towards Islam. However, so the second part of the ayah, this is what we derive from there as well, that if they command us, if they tell us to do anything which contradicts the rulings of Islam, the teachings of Islam, the teachings of Sharia, then we are not to obey them. So, for example, if they tell you to miss a fard or a wajib, or anything which is a sin, which leads to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then keep in mind, لَا طَاعَةَ لِأَحَدٍ فِي مَعَصِيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. There is no obedience of anyone in terms of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that leads you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that leads you to sin, then you cannot obey the creation in that matter. Even to the extent that the scholars have stated that if a person is praying his nafl, voluntary salah, and the parents do not know that he's praying, if they call him, he has to break that salah, go and answer to their call, and then come back, and he has to now repeat that salah and complete it. So, this shows us the importance of parents, you know, when they call us, and generally, and this is something, if we look at it now, in terms of our society right now, for example, we're outside with friends, and here we're taught, obviously when they call out to you, you can hear them whilst you're praying your voluntary prayer, finish that, break that, leave that there, go and first attend and see what your parents need, and then come back and then repeat that salah again. But here in our society, we'll be outside with friends, and maybe the mother is continuously calling, the father is continuously calling on the phone, and we're just ignoring that. And you know, usually the mother is, oh, as we say, she's worried sick for the child to return home, especially if it's late at night. So these are all things that Islam teaches us to be considerate of. So, where, especially when it comes to the rights of parents, and you know, the amount of trouble that we actually put our parents through when we're out late at night or something like that, it's actually, this is something that causes pain to them. So this is something that we must avoid. Likewise, you know, if he's going to be going on any worldly travel, any worldly journey, and if the parents prevent him from there, and he knows if he goes, nobody's going to be able to take care of his parents, and nor is he able to kind of provide for them whilst he's gone, then he's not allowed to travel without the permission of the parents. Likewise, if the journey is a dangerous one, and then as well, he's not allowed to travel without the permission of his parents. However, if he travels for the sake of learning religious knowledge, even if he does so without the permission of his parents, this will not be considered disobedience. And if a person, Sadru Sharia Ali Rahma has mentioned this in his very famous work, Bahari Shariat, that if a person is actually abroad, he's out of country, and his parents call him, he must come. So you can't just write a letter or send a text or something. If they want him to come physically, he must come there. So these are the rights of the parents. And let me just quickly give you some narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which will help us to understand the importance and the rights of parents and the greatness of parents. Those people whose parents are alive, they should kiss the feet and the hands of their parents at least once a day. There's great reward in treating your parents with respect. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said, "Al jannatu tahta aqdam al ummahat," that paradise lies under the feet of mothers. Subhanallah. Therefore, treating them with kindness is a means of entering paradise, entering heaven. In Bahari Shariat again, Sadr al-Sharia alayhi rahma, he has stated that one may also kiss the feet of his mother as well. And it is stated in the hadith that the one who kissed the feet of his mother, it is as if he has kissed the doorstep of paradise. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So this is the greatness of the mother. Now on the other hand, we look at, you know, our saints, our pious predecessors, how greatly they valued their parents, how much they did to respect, you know, how much they spent on their parents. But let alone spending, let's listen to a narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even without spending, look at the great reward a person can earn. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a child, when an offspring looks at their parents with a merciful gaze, with a merciful look, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes the reward of Hajj Mabrur, accepted Hajj, for every such sight. Every time he looks at his parents with a merciful gaze, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes the reward of an accepted Hajj in the book of his deeds. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blessed companions, alayhim ridwan, they were naturally greedy for good deeds. And that's a good greed. They wanted to carry out as much good deeds as they could. So they naturally asked that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if someone looks at them 100 times a day, would he be given the reward for Hajj? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Na'am, Allahu Akbar wa Atiyab. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest and the Atiyab, the purest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed can grant, He has power over everything, and He can bestow and grant as much reward as He wills. So if someone looks at his parents with a merciful gaze 100 times a day, He subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward of 100 accepted Hajj. Subhanallah. Beautiful thing is that The parents are the ones who brought us up, who really helped us out a lot in life. Now we're instructed to be respectful towards them. But respectful towards them, just being kind towards them, this is nothing compared to what they did for us when we were young, you know, when they brought us up, how they took care of us, how they nurtured us. So even our kindness in return is still nothing. So even just that kindness, if we were commanded to just be kind, and that kindness could try to be a repay of the favors that they did, it still would not be a repay. But in fact, when we are kind, we're rewarded, we're granted reward for that kindness. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're commanded to be kind towards our parents, and then upon that kindness, we're actually granted reward. On the other hand, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has warned that the parents are your hell and your paradise. At another place, the Prophet ﷺ said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, He can delay the punishment for every sin until the day of judgment. The punishment for every sin can be delayed until the day of judgment. But, what is the exception here? But, He punishes the one disobedient to his parents within his lifetime. So, the person who is disobedient to his parents, he is punished even in this worldly life. Allahu Akbar. Likewise, when we look at the great teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is so much to be said here. But let's just take a look at a couple of narrations and incidents, then inshallah we'll move on with our topic with regards to the great companion Sidna Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala an. So, the rights of parents are so many that we cannot pay them off. And once a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he humbly requested that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on a path where the stones were so hot that if a piece of meat was to be placed, it would have become roasted there. That's how hot the rocks were. And on such hot rocks, I carried my mother on my shoulders for 6 miles. 6 miles on such hot stones. Am I free from the rights of my mother? And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perhaps this could be the return for one, this could be the payback for one of the contractions she endured, she went through during labor whilst giving birth to you. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. So this shows us the great status and the great rights that the parents have. There are a lot of narrations that we can take a look at, but there's one particular incident and a story that is mentioned in At-Targhib wa Tarheeb, which Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu al-Aliyah has mentioned in his book, Oceanic Dome. So this is a book that I encourage all the viewers of Madani channel to read. You know, this is a beautiful book that explains the rights of parents. Also, if parents are arguing whose side is the child going to take, or is he even allowed to take sides. And many of the details, many of the rules, and along with that, ways to actually show respect to parents, and what is the punishment for somebody who disrespects the parents, and so on and so forth. Sidna Awam bin Hawshab alayhi rahmatullahi rabb, he is from amongst the Taba Tabi'een, and he passed away in 148 Hijri. He said that, I once passed through a neighborhood, at the end of it was a graveyard. And after Salatul Asr, a grave split open, and a man came out of that grave with his head like that of a donkey. So this man came out and his head was like the head of a donkey, and the rest of his body was like that of a human. He brayed thrice, you know, brayed like a donkey, made the same noise that a donkey does, 3 times. And then he went back into his grave, and the grave then shut again, it closed again. So an old lady was sitting nearby, she was spinning yarn. And another lady asked me, do you see that old lady there, that old woman there? I asked, who is she? She said, the old lady is the mother of that person in the grave. He was a drunkard, he used to drink alcohol. And whenever he drank and returned home in the evening, his mother would advise him, "O son, fear Allah Azza wa Jal. How long will you drink this impure thing?" And he used to reply, "You bray like a donkey." Allahu Akbar. And he died after Salat al-Asr. Ever since his death, his grave splits open every day after Salat al-Asr. He brays like a donkey 3 times. And then he goes back into his grave. And then the grave closes again. Allahu Akbar. So my dear viewers of Madinah, we realize that the person disrespecting his parents in any way, the person disrespecting and causing pain to his parents, can be subjected to many ways of being punished. So the question, the thing for us to keep in mind is, you know, when we come home, for example, our mother may be advising us too. Those of us who have parents, who have mothers and fathers, we're actually those of us who are lucky enough to have that bounty and that blessing. But maybe we don't value it. When we come back and, you know, we make that same face, ah, here comes another lecture, when the father's advising us or the mother's advising us. So we need to keep in mind the respect. And we've got to look at things from their perspective, their angle. Why are they doing that? Why are they lecturing me if I call it that? Or why are they advising me? Because that's how they see it. Why? Because they're genuinely concerned for my safety. If I'm coming back home late, or if I'm hanging around with the wrong sort of crowd, they're concerned for my future. They're concerned for my well-being. And that's why. But because we're so emotional at that point, and we're not processing things with a cool mind, we're not processing that information with a cool mind. But keep in mind, whenever the parents advise us, always try to think of it from their angle, and think of it with a cool mind. You'll process it much differently, and you'll see it, inshallah, that you'll find it much valuable and very useful as well, inshallah. Another ayah that is revealed with regards to Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that once I, along with a few other companions like Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an, and 4 more companions, we were present in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then a group of disbelievers, they came to the blessed court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and having observed us, you know, we didn't have the most exquisite and highest quality clothing. So having observed our level of clothing and so on and so forth, they didn't want to sit with us. They felt ashamed. They felt like, you know, it would be a way, they'd be degraded if they sat next to these blessed companions, alayhim radwan ma'adallah. So they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you send these people out of your gathering, if you tell them to go, then we will sit with you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept this condition of theirs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, translation from Kanzul Iman, and do not repel those who call upon their Lord in the morning and evening, seeking His pleasure. You are not responsible for their account, nor are they responsible for your account. Then your repelling them would be far from justice. Allahu Akbar. So these blessed companions are in Ridwan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the glorious Quran that, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these blessed companions who call out to their Lord with sincerity in the morning and evening, do not send them out of your gathering. Allahu Akbar. And we'll end this episode on this beautiful narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the companions alayhim ridwan, they, as soon as they attached themselves to the blessed court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as soon as they became Muslims, they definitely received a lot of good, a lot of glad tidings. Yes, they went through trials and tribulations, but even those were means of elevation for their status. And, you know, if we think about it, the same companions alayhim ridwan that attached themselves to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today we feel proud mentioning them. We feel proud mentioning their name. We feel proud that we have love for them. We feel proud that these are our guiding stars. So alhamdulillah, these are the blessed companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And each one of the companions, you know, when we see that they would converse with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would say, before they present themselves to the court of the Prophet ﷺ, they'd say, Fidaka abi wa ummi, that may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. May my father and mother be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ. But imagine the status of that companion for whom the Prophet ﷺ says, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to maintain that respect and grant us the ability to attach ourselves to the Madni environment and stay steadfast within there. Keep watching Madni channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special 10 Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special 10 Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special 10 Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special 10 Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum.